expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to get fired up about Power Up Radio with Dr. Pat? Unleashed, unshaken, unstoppable brings mind-blowing news, conversations with top world thought leaders, and Dr. Pat herself, unleashed like never before. Mega talk covering the most leading edge and headlines worthy topics from pop culture to presidents, sex to spirituality, surviving to thriving, Hollywood to Bollywood, and music to miracles, addiction to action and rhetoric to rocking it. It's not about mistakes and all about the guts to not just step out of your comfort zone, but annihilate it. Think authentic and spontaneous. Think fun and forefront. Think no matter what, don't just make a difference, be the difference. Now here's Dr. Pat.
Hey everybody, welcome. Welcome to Power Up Radio with me. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm also the host of the Dr. Pat Show. And pretty soon you're going to see, I've put up our website around this particular show, Power Up Radio with me. It is a show that is a bit different from what many people are used to me doing. First and foremost, what we do is we're taking on some of the more difficult conversations. And the reason we're taking them on is because, let me just say this. I don't know if you all are aware of this, but our news industry, our media industry is in a crisis right now. And let me tell you why. Because anytime that a person with power can come out and threaten a network, like just saying this happened, like my former employer, AT&T, and sort of threaten people that if you don't talk about me in a certain way or you don't talk about this issue in a certain way, there will be consequences. And if I have the power to unleash the consequences, then one has to ask the question, and I'm not supposed to do that, what the heck is going on? So when I say our media is in crisis, here's what I want to say about us. We're independent. We're an independent talk radio network. I founded Transformation Talk Radio almost 10 years ago. I've been doing the Dr. Pat Show for 15. I buy every hour of airtime you hear. I buy that airtime. And in this day and age, it is becoming more and more difficult to buy airtime or to promote your message. Now, clearly, we are living in the world of podcasting, but everybody will tell you that it costs money to podcast. We are going to be doing something very different shortly. We're going to be finishing our technology, our platform, which is everything to do with opening up the airways to have powerful voices more than ever before. Today's show is all about that. Pay to play. Sexual harassment, American style, with author Tootie Smith joining me here today. But no, she's not just an author. Because I think when you hear that author, you think, oh, she write a book. No, she didn't just write a book. Lived a life, a lifetime, lived a lifetime of what it means to see what's happening in the world and then do something about it. Whether you know what her political career was about, you know, lobbying U.S. Congress at age 29, whether it's forming grassroots groups in the world, whether it's protesting, was elected to the House of Representatives, District 8, all of that. What is it that has been the catalyst for her stepping out in the world? What is it that, for me, that has made me the catalyst for doing a show like this? And I want to thank everybody for the emails that you sent and the messages that you sent regarding the show we did last week. And we're going to be doing more of that. But today, we are literally going to lift up the rock and we're going to see what's crawling out from under it. Tootie, it's great to have you here.
Pat, thanks for having me on the show. Can't wait to get started.
All right. So let's start with this. I want to ask you a question I've been asking people for a really long time. Given the little bit that I've said about you, just a teeny bit, because you're way more than that, right? I want to know what challenges, what obstacles did you personally have to overcome to bring you to this very moment, right now, right here?
Well, I have probably as many failures as I have successes.
Yes.
Right? Right? Yes. I think most of us, and that's how we learn, is from our failures. I've run for office. I've won as many offices as I've lost. Oregon is very challenging politically right now, and we're getting more challenging. What brought me to write this book is I took a step back because I was raised in the 1970s in the advent of the Equal Rights Amendment and Title IX and promised so many things to be coming our way. And I took a look at what was happening. I thought, holy cow, have we really gone that far? And then the advent, all of a sudden, it's cases of sexual harassment, abuse, it just went shooting through our skies like rockets. And I asked myself, well, why? Why is that? I was trained as a journalist. I've had businesses and so forth, but I've been writing since I was in the seventh grade. High school newspapers and yearbooks and on until I finally got sick of it and went into business. But I've come back to writing. I was a newspaper editor and worked at that for several years and written other books. So what I've tried to do is study, listen, and see what's going on in the world, and especially America. Number one, I think we're in a huge spiritual crisis in America right now. And you can see that by turning on the news and you're just sickened by it. And I'm a political junkie and I used to be a news junkie, but anymore, I can hardly stand to watch it. Secondly, Pat?
I want to ask you, because I too am feeling the same way, right? But what is it about what you're seeing that has pretty much turned you off? Because this is really the crux of the bigger conversation for today, right?
Yes. I learned old-fashioned journalism. You solve the facts. You have a strong lead. You talk about the who, what, where, why, and when. The hardest things are the why and the how. But that's how you structure your journalism stories. You don't start your line in your article by saying what your opinion is. Frankly, everybody has an opinion on everything, and most of the opinions in America are wrong. Maybe even mine are wrong at times. But you give the facts, you let the people decide if this is a good idea or not. And then at the tail end, you can add your opinion. That's what I find a little bit disheartening right now. And I also find that only one side of issues are being told. And then the last issue is, where's the news coverage on topic X? Where's the news coverage on topic XYZ? It's non-existent. I started this new blog in January where I'm talking about the Oregon legislature, and I picked tax increases.
Oh.
Because new tax increases, because that covers the whole range of my opinion of the political spectrum. And I explained what they are. People would, my gosh, it went crazy. People would say, well, why aren't they saying this on the news? Well, you explain it so well. You know, we don't understand bill numbers. We don't stand legal language. Well, who does? Nobody does. So I just explained what it is and I go forward, and it's been very successful. It's also been very disheartening because I see what's going on to my beloved state, and I'm not too happy about it right now, but you know what? A new day is coming and we'll get there.
You know, because let's take a moment and thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. Because you and I come from an era, generation where today we have to encourage folks to stand up and have a voice. I mean, one of the things I hear more often than not is how difficult it is for people to have a voice. But more importantly, they're looking and they're saying, why? Why do I want to bother? And I'm going back in time, and I was joking on one of the earlier shows today. This is my third hour for the day. And I was joking at one of the earlier shows, and I said, there was a news clip on television. I think it was last night. I don't know what it was. But it was back in the day on Washington, D.C., the protest. And there was one protest in particular that was done on the 4th of July, right? when under, I guess it was Nixon, he wanted to rename or rebrand the 4th of July. So there was this big protest. So I'm watching this and I was like, oh no, I remember that. I was like, OMG, I remember that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't remember it quite the way the news was projecting it, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think we ever do. But here's the question, because we are going to talk about this today. Sexual harassment. It is a term that has been so much a part of my workplace journey. I worked in human resources. It's been so much of a part of the conversation, and yet it's been so little of the conversation. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. People are scared to death to even say the words. As I say in my book, I told you where it originated, the 1970s, of a group of college students wanted to protest. Thank you very much. And it was just organically popped out. The huge ironic thing to me is in America, we think we have such sexual freedom and expression, but yet we can't seem to understand what sexual harassment is, acknowledge it, and put a stop to it in our workplace. And I take a look at these things in my book. The taboos are very so ingrained in us, and I'm not a psychologist to try to figure that out. Right. But what I do know is sexual harassment is a behavior, and as a behavior, it can be changed. It can be stopped.
Well, look, we're going to take a short break, but Here's what I want to kind of leave everybody with. What was it that my 93-year-old uncle, my Uncle Al, what was it that had my Uncle Al, a devout Catholic his entire life, what was it that put him over the edge? And out of the blue, he calls me one day and he says, I have left the Catholic Church. Now, I got to tell you about my uncle and my aunt, my Uncle Ralph, my favorite uncle, and my Aunt Lee. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a single room that you didn't go through in their house that didn't have the crucifixion. But what was it? What was the thing that put my uncle over the edge? Yeah, it's in the book. It's in the book. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in The Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to The Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all parties and all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
TheAngelLady.net.
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 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790.
Sue Storm.
Sue Storm.
TheAngelLady.net.
TheAngelLady.net.
Miss any shows during the week?
No!
Don't worry, we've got you covered.
Yahoo!
With the free Transformation Talk radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand. Yes! Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific Time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Oh, that reminds me of my days at Woodstock. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, everybody, Power Up Radio with me, Dr. Pat. Unleashed, unshaken, unstoppable. That's what the show's about. That's what the guests that are on the show are about. We're talking about pay to play, sexual harassment, American style, with author Tootie Smith. Tootie, look, how can people find out more about you? And also, how can they get a copy of the book?
Well, it's available on Amazon. That's easy. It's also on a Kindle version. I have a website, tootiesmith.com. Go on there. There's a bunch of bios. There's information about me. You can email me from that website. I would be happy to engage in a conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, my uncle that I talked about, my uncle Ralph, he had reached the end of his rope. And I remember the call that he called me. Patricia, he says, are you going to do the right? Are you going to do a radio show on this? I want you to bring me on your show. And wow. And I had brought him on the show to talk about Italian recipes. But he said, we got to talk about this, Pat. You know, he called me Patricia. You've got to talk about this. You've got to talk about what's going on in the Catholic Church. He said, I have left the Catholic Church. I said, you left the Catholic? He says, yes. He said, why wouldn't anybody, this is my uncle now, why wouldn't anybody leave the Catholic Church after that horrific sex scandal? And then he said a bunch of things in Italian. To this day, I still don't know what he said. But you cover this in your book. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for us to talk about it because, one, there aren't enough people talking about it. There aren't enough people angry about it. There aren't enough people that are even looking at what happened, and even to this day, what is happening. But you talk about it. Tell us why you think this was a pivotal point for my Uncle Ralph.
It's spiritual. You come to a point, you're thinking, man, this is the trusted institution. I've devoted my life to spiritual thought, religious practice, and so forth. And they're doing this to our children. Oh my gosh. I'm a practicing Catholic, and I pretty much was. And I attend one of the better, larger dioceses in Mount Angel, Oregon. That church so far has not had an issue with this. You know, praise the Lord. Let's hope it doesn't and go forward. But it just was brought to my attention. And then my dear friend, Kelly Clark, who has since passed, he was a legislator. And I served after him in the legislature. After he left that, we became friends. He became a speaker, talked on the subject. And when I was a county commissioner, I even hired him. We had to hire him to do some representation and help us out in some several cases. And he was so brave and so criticized at the time in the late 1990s for bringing these cases against the church because he himself was Catholic. He even received his Master's of Divinity later in his life. But he was a practicing. But the issue for me was These are trusted priests who indoctrinate our children with a point of view. And our parents put trust in these priests. They send the children to say, hey, you obey him, you follow him. And then this horrid thing happens to them that follows them throughout their lives. And the Catholic Church is untouchable. It's untouchable. And I outline a brief history of the Catholic Church and why that's so. The sexual abuse scandal is still being covered up. There was an independent study, for instance, in the country of Australia, where they identified 4,400 cases of sex abuse by their priests, and nothing had been done, and the Pope had ignored it. Now, when Pope Francis became Pope, I was pretty excited because he kind of appeared to be a little bit more liberal than the rest of them. I'm thinking, well, maybe we'll get some attention on this issue. The Catholic Church can do three things, in my opinion, to stop sex abuse. Well, they can ordain women as priests, for number one. They can allow the priests to marry, and they need to take a look at their seminary practices and their teachings and how men behave. And the problem with the priests in the Catholic Church, they're take a vow of celibacy at the same time they become sexually aware of their own bodies and their own situations. I think maybe that hurts them in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, clearly we have evolved as to what we've learned over time and what we've learned about religion and spirituality. And we learned this from other religions, if I might say, that allow for marriage, right? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. We look at the blueprint and we say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Why does that happen like that over there? And is there another way? And I think we're starting to see the other way. But here's the question that gets raised. Why aren't we hearing more outrage, right? Now, my uncle was one person, but even to this day, right? And you mentioned this in your book, the level of outrage on bad behavior, let me call it that, bad behavior right now in people that are highly visible, right? Whether it be social media, television, radio, highly visible, bad behavior, right? It is off the charts. And today I was reading a headline, and this is all wrapped together. I was reading a headline on Al Franken. And I was shocked at the pressure that he got to resign. And the reason I was shocked about the pressure to resign is because I just didn't hear it for anybody else. I mean, I mean it's like, okay, there's Al, let's get him to resign, and not a single word about the other sexual atrocities that were being made public. Why is that? What, where are these multiplicity of standards emerging from?
Well, politically speaking, he was a United States Senator, very powerful, and by the way, hugely intelligent.
Yeah.
I think he was offered up as a sacrificial lamb and as an scapegoat. Because no, either the Republicans nor the Democrats want to deal with this issue. I talk about politically what's being done in the United States Congress to help with this problem. And frankly, I'm disappointed. There's not a heck of a lot being done about it. Back when I was 30 years old, we had a senator from Oregon, Senator Bob Packwood, who was accused of sexual harassment of his employees. Back then, it was... the same senators, you know, had him resign from public office. And I was shocked. So they know what's going on. And I tell in my book of the men who have had to resign that knew about it. Frankly, other resignations took place that we don't know about or the real reasons behind it. But if you look at the statistics of the United States Congress, it's representative, I think, wholly of America. And there are probably one third sitting male members of the United States Congress who have engaged in sexual harassment of some form during their careers, and they've skated. The fund that they set up by their lawyers, the slush fund to pay out claims of women who made sexual harassment with our tax dollars, and then they made it secret, which is against the Constitution of the United States. I am appalled. And then they say, well, we're going to have trainings for our new employees, and that's how we're going to deal with sexual harassment. They need to start looking at laws that govern everybody in America. For instance, I believe we need a universal law that defines rape. If we can't even define rape at the federal level, like we can murder, kidnapping, RICO charges, bank fraud, and if we can't even define rape, how can we begin to even look at sexual abuse and define what sexual harassment is on a much lesser scale?
Yeah, look, I'm on the same page as you, and I really want to point to a couple of things you reference in the book, because this is really the crux of this for me. You know, you talk about, I love the book. I love the way you really not just write about it, but you reference information, data, and studies. You say this one thing. I want to talk about this because this really is going to point to the crux of what we're going to talk about when we come back from break. And yes, I am going to talk about Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh when we come back. One study goes as far to say that a look or a gossip is considered a form of sexual harassment. The strict technical definition can cut both ways, and this author remains guarded as to the degree to which such conversation should be measured. With that in mind, these researchers define sexual harassment in seven different ways. Here we go. One, unwanted touching. Two, offensive jokes, remarks, or gossip directed at the study subject. Three, offensive jokes, remarks, or gossips about others, right? Like some person's not even in a room. Number four, direct questioning about a subject's private life. Number five, staring or invasion of a subject's personal space. Hello, Joe Biden. Six, staring or leering at a subject in a way that made her uncomfortable. Oh my God, I don't even know where to begin with that one. Seven, pictures, posters, or other material that a subject found offensive, right? Now, Tootie goes on to say it would be almost impossible to find a workplace in America that is sanitized to the degree as a previous definition suggests. And why would we want it? Now, that is a big tenet of behavior to consider. When we come back, we're going to talk about what my guest predicted in the pendulum swing to the side of zero tolerance. And we're going to do a sanity check on that. Because when we come back, why is it that as of last month, there are new ethics complaints that are stuck in appeals court in the 10th Circuit about a sitting Supreme Court judge where the Congress didn't do their job to begin with? This is not about politics. This is about humanity. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Have you lost a loved one and would desperately love a sign to prove that they are okay? Here's a tip for you. Be curious. Keep an open mind about everything. The proof will come from the most unlikely places. The messages promise to challenge your current beliefs and what you've been taught. Accept and appreciate all, no matter where they come from. I'm Angie Corbett Kuiper. I would love for you to share your signs from beyond on my closed Facebook page, Beyond Grief.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death, from debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind, that anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss, every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit AngieCorbett-Kuyper.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Look, for more information about Power Up Radio, go to the drpatshow.com. And what you're going to do is you're going to be able to see a replay of this show and all the Power Up Radio shows here, as well as you can subscribe to iTunes and so forth. Today, it's all about pay to play. Sexual harassment, American style, with author Tootie Smith. But beyond being an author, this is somebody that has lived a lifetime of speaking out, you know, lived a lifetime of looking at where we are as a country and how we treat women, right? Where we stand with that, you know, and today we're taking on some very important topics around this because, you know, one side of this is we've become so desensitized to it that we've changed the rules of the game. And Tootie, here's what I want to say to you. You know, I had a big argument with some of my colleagues here about a year ago when they were thinking of declassifying narcissistic personality disorder. And their argument was that we need to declassify it because there's so many folks that have it that it's become now normal. And I said, hello, look at, if everybody becomes a murderer, what do we do? Declassify? What are we going to do in the psychology realm? No, don't declassify it. Are we heading down the same path where we've either turned a blind eye or we basically are afraid or we just don't think we could win? And I talked about before the break, you know, Kavanaugh, and, you know, this has not gone away. You know, the ethics complaints that Kavanaugh faces are news. Look, if you go back to April and May, there is a giant battle with the U.S. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, right? Mm-hmm. Who is facing what serious 10th Circuit Judicial Council orders that were filed, right? To hear about actions and complaints that are still being filed against him. Yet everybody in there that talked about Susan Collins, everybody in there that was like, if we find out we're going to do something, they are missing in action. Missing in action. So let's talk about this and what it is that we expect the American people to do when our lawmakers are not even doing it?
That's a good question. What do we do? Well, we stand up and write letters. We protest. We do all these things. Yet our voices are still not heard. I think until we quit sending incumbents back to office, term limits will solve a lot of this problem. Term limits are somehow are not constitutional. In Oregon, we have term limits on every elected official except for our legislature, which is a really sad thing. Term limits will do much to do this. Regarding Kavanaugh, I tell you, I watched both sides of that whole thing. I watched Dr. Christine Brazen testify and what she was saying, the questions, and I physically got sick to my stomach. I watched Dr. Kavanaugh, and I was appalled because I didn't know a man, Supreme Court Justice probable, could sit there and cry and wail like a baby for however long. And I thought his behavior was absurd. And at that point, I came to a realization. He knows he's not going to get the nomination, so he's going to do what he can to protect his reputation. I firmly believe he thought he wasn't going to get the nomination. And then I started asking a few questions on my Facebook because I wrote this book. And what I saw from that is people took sides immediately, and they were hard, took positions on that, on this particular nominee, and they were unyielding. I saw people lose friendships. I saw people defriend people. I had one of my good friends told me, don't even talk to me about this because I support X person in this. And I'm not going to say who that was, because in the end, I really don't know. And I don't think any of us really know at this point. Let's go back to Senator Dianne Feinstein. She knew about this allegation months and months and months before she brought it up. I think if she would have brought it up at the end of spring or the beginning of summer, whereas we could have had a proper investigation, not this 1 week situation where they bring in, you know, a dozen Justice Department lawyers, and then they extended a week or two because we're under this deadline because of the election. That was a decision that somebody made on the Democrat side. Let's wait to the very last minute and we'll take down the nominee. There's no way he can survive it. Well, guess what? It backfired. He survived it. What should have been done is a proper investigation where they looked at everything. And as far as I know, the only thing they could come up with was something that he may have done in high school. And that brings up another question. Is high school behavior off the limits or isn't it? I always thought that when you are 18 years and younger, you are a minor and therefore protected. I cringe to think how many people are in very powerful positions, have done very well for themselves, and have helped others. I cringe to think, should they be accountable for something stupid thing they did in high school? Now, with Judge Kavanaugh, it may be part of a larger behavior pattern. I don't know. But I will say, for a very long time, this issue split the country in half, and it broke my heart just seeing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so here's the follow up to that. You know, this is now, here's where we are. Because while we now understand that, you know, a court of appeals in the district circuit, right, pretty much dismissed the complaints, what we know is that there was no merit for them to do that. So here's what I love about us in this country. When something like this happens, there's somebody out there that says, no, not on my watch. And so now, as of May, there is a new push to review the judicial misconduct complaints. Mm-hmm. And these judicial misconducts are not about that hearing. These are really misconduct complaints about his behavior. And here's where we are with this. This is the macro of the micro that goes on in the workplace in this country on 24/7. Here's what I mean. I'd love for you to weigh in on this. What I mean is we're watching a process where a body of people take a look at something and decide there's no merit in it. And then these people try to push it along. And most of the time, these are people that are making decisions that in their own case, especially when it comes to women, right, mm-hmm. are mostly men. Mm-hmm. And yet, we go through this due process, and generally speaking, we don't have a way to step back. But I will tell you that what's happening with this one case, completely unnoticed, where Justice John Roberts referred these complaints, because they were made to him, to the 10th District, we are now seeing, right? We're now seeing that Bates has shown up and said that these judges should not be able to evade ethics inquiries. But what does that mean? It means exactly what you talk about in your book. What happens when due process doesn't come due? That's what we're talking about. Right. We're talking about that then. We're talking about that now. We're talking about that as we sit and speak today, where we're not willing to really look under the rock. And so in your book, where you say, I predict the pendulum swings to the side of zero tolerance for any conversation based upon the differences of men and women, the healthy workplace relationships could become stifled, unproductive, lacking, right, in good energy. Mm-hmm. We humans need to feel worthy. Mm-hmm. Fear of messing up is a big predictor of behavior. Do we women want that? And no. You say, no, of course not. But what will we do? What we do want is for the crap to stop and for the good men to step up and help where women can't. Bada bing, bada bam.
Well, that's exactly right. I quote a lot of men in here. You know, one man in particular, a PhD in one of the California universities, says, you know, he felt bad. He felt bad because this is a man's issue. This isn't a woman's issue. This is a man's issue, and it goes to our behavior, and we know it's wrong. We do need the good men to step up and help women with this issue. We cannot do it alone. I just think men don't know what to do. I think now when you talk about how the pendulum has swung, a lot of them in these workplaces, because I talk to them, are scared. Golly, do I say this or do I say that? Here's a perfect example. I'll use my husband. We've been married 40 years. He works for a very large federal government agency, and he's a supervisor. He's been married to a woman for 40 years. He understands women. He has all kinds of women around him. Somebody will come in a new dress and a new outfit, and he'll say, well, you look really nice today. Knowing we women like that. When we go out of our way to dress up, we like to be acknowledged for that, right? I know I do. I know a whole lot of women out there do. They like to be acknowledged for the fact that they made an effort to look good on the workplace. My husband says, I can't say that anymore. I can't be human. And he's not even remotely talking about sexual harassment. So we have a lot of men like that who are, you know, afraid, golly, what do I say now? What do I do now? And then he's also seen some situations that men have said, oh my gosh, you can't say that. You quit saying that. That's not allowed. Are you nuts? So in the few situations that he has seen, he's put a stop to it. And of course, this is the federal government, and they have tons of sexual harassment trainings and so forth in that. But we do need to take a look. And women can't be afraid to say no. Just handling it. You know, there's three generations of women. I talk about in my book. There's a generation, and maybe Pat, you and I are one of the oldest. You know, I was born in 57, so I'm 62 years old. We came on the women's lib, and there's a generation that are older. Well, the older generation than you and mine says, well, yeah, I dealt with that my whole life, and I put up with it, and I endured it. So what's the problem? You and I came along and said, well, heck no. And you and I are kind of the sandwich generation here.
Yeah.
We're saying no. This is what we need to do. And you and I are teaching our daughters and our nieces what to do about it. And I tell you, the new generation coming on of women have zero tolerance for this whatsoever. As detailed in my book of all of the actresses that came forward who were not afraid. But guess what? The women in Congress are still afraid. You know why?
They're scared to death.
They're scared to death. It'll ruin their careers because it's a double standard. You know, as a Hollywood actress, I can go out and I can play a sexually raped, abused woman. I can win an Academy Award. However, if I'm sitting in the United States Congress or Senator and I come out and say, and more are starting to say it, by the way, oh, I was sexually harassed as when I was in this profession before I became here. There was such a stigma attached to that that there is no wonder. I talk about why we don't have a woman president in this country. Because the critics will say, if you couldn't stand up to your rapist or your attacker, how are you as commander-in-chief going to stand up to a foreign country wanting to bomb the country? You're just not tough enough.
Well, wait a minute. Let's even go one step further. I talk to young women, and I shared this story not too long ago. And I was working with the group of women that I work with, and I was talking about, I said ERA, and they thought I was talking about the NRA. And I was saying to them, I was talking about the ERA and the fact that perhaps this year will probably, they said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm talking about the Equal Rights Amendment. And they said, for who? I said, for women. Women in this country don't have equal rights. They looked at me and they said, no, that you're wrong. I'm serious. This was like the conversation we're having. So the question came up and I heard this on a show. And I don't even know whose podcast it was, but the gentleman said, I have a very good reason why women should not be president. First of all, they don't have equal rights to men. Why do we think that they should be president? And so here we have generations that don't get that women in this country still do not have an equal rights amendment. We don't know that, right? Because that's living in illusion. But here talks to your point. This is really that got my, this got the hair on the back of my neck up. This guy, this George Nader guy, who was shipped off to Washington, Virginia, right? On child pornography charges, was a key Mueller witness. And I had a moment where the news kind of blew by this, and I haven't been able to find this out. So did we exchange, because for me, this is the reason why we have to move forward. Did he get immunity or some form of immunity on pornography charges for his testimony?
Oh.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Some things have got to be sacred here. Right. And my friend who is an attorney said, Pat, you're living in a dream world. You know, we let rapists off if we can use them as key witnesses. And I thought to myself, if these are the kinds of agreements we made to gather evidence, we better do something with the evidence in that report. Because there are just some things that I don't believe that we should. Forget about zero tolerance. Possession, reproduction, and distribution of pornography, child pornography in Virginia, that is a serious crime. But more importantly, how does that even happen here? How does it get to the place where if in fact it's true that there was a bargaining chip on this? Have we lost our way?
I do believe so. In the beginning of the show, I said it's a spiritual awareness and crisis in the country that I think has gripped us in this area.
I know we've got a few minutes left. I want to talk about a number of other key points that that you talked about during the show, and I want to get to them. One is, how do we, as women, and I know we have to count on our male counterparts, but I also think that we as women have to really do something about what we're afraid of. It is totally disempowering. We will forever be shackled, right?
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen, and what would you say to the women listening to this to help them take steps to their own freedom around this?
I outlined steps in two chapters in my book on yep. exactly what to do.
Yeah,
I know the Kindle version is fairly cheap. Follow those steps. The last couple of years have really been rewarding in a way, in that any company you work for, if there's a charge of sexual harassment, they take it serious now. And if they don't, the repercussions are too hard.
Yeah.
We now have social media. If you go to your HR or your boss and you say a case of sexual harassment, more than likely, they already know the guy's doing it and they already suspect something's going on. So it's not like you're being the first person to come along and say that, especially if he's an habitual guy. If they don't do anything, then you report it to your police agency and be prepared. If that doesn't work, hey, gals, we have a megaphone that you and I didn't have growing up.
Right.
And your social media, you put it out there, and no company in America wants to be accused of this type of things in the workplace. You can't even have hot coffee at McDonald's without your stock prices going down. So can you imagine what a charge of sexual harassment in the workplace would do? Now, my book centers on sexual harassment in the workplace, but I believe that's also a symptom of a larger endemic problem. That's domestic abuse. And I don't get into domestic abuse, but the reason why identifying sexual harassment in the workplace is so important, because that is the very first place that we identify this abuse. And then that gives us permission to go in and fix it in the homes with maybe the women and children that are under this type of foreign activity.
And here's where we are. I remember as we're talking about whether it was sexual harassment, whether it was the Access Hollywood tape, it doesn't matter, whatever the conversation was. One of the things I did was I looked at where this all goes, where it leads. And people yet have not made the relationship between what you so brilliantly talk about in your book and the damage, the loss of life for women. And so I looked at the latest study that came out on the states in the United States. I live in Washington State. I grew up in New York and New Jersey. But which states are at the top of the list for women being murdered by men? And when I looked at the list, I sent a copy to Senator Lindsey Graham because one of the things that was discovered was that for 21 years in a row, or 20, I can't remember, it was a ridiculous number, years in a row, South Carolina, where my stepmom and family were from, that's why I'm very attached to this, made the top six of the states. And I remember listening to these folks at the Kavanaugh hearings. And I looked at the people that were most outstanding, and I looked at their states. And what I did was I sent them all this report. And every time Lindsey Graham or any of them say anything contrary or against women and women's rights, I send them their version of the report, because there's a direct correlation for those that spoke for Kavanaugh and their listing in this report of women murdered by men. The statistics are unraveling. Mm-hmm. And when we look at what you say in your book, and when we look at the hate and these comments, and sexual harassment comes from hate, when we look at this, it becomes very, very clear that we need to do something here. So I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for the book. I want to thank you for the resources. And I have one last question.
Yes.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
Well, you know, I was raised on a farm by my mother, who was a very strong individual. And you know what she told us kids growing up? You don't like what you see happening, get off your rear and go out and do something about it. And this is my own little way of trying to empower women everywhere to do something about a scourge that is holding us back from politics, from industry, from business, from anything that we want to accomplish.
Thank you so much. Give out your website again, please.
TootieSmith.com, TootieSmith.com. Thank you, Pat. I've thoroughly enjoyed our talk today.
Yeah, thank you. And for all of you out there, I hope you've heard something that will have you rethink who you are in the world and what you're absolutely capable of. You deserve better. And we're here to remind you of that. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Power Up Radio with Dr. Pat, Unleashed, Unshaken, Unstoppable. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Dr. Pat brings mind-blowing news, conversations with top world thought leaders, and Dr. Pat herself, unleashed like never heard before. It's not about mistakes and all about the guts to not just step out of your comfort zone, but annihilate it. Think authentic and spontaneous. Think fun and forefront. Think no matter what, don't just make a difference, be the difference. Visit www.powerupdrpat.com or powerupTalkRadio.com.